Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the investor presentation of Adore Building Limited. We'll start the investor meet by a small presentation by our MD, Nitin sir, and then we'll take your questions.
Good afternoon. I hope you all can hear me clearly. Just wanted to give a very quick introductory presentation, and then we can go into the question and answer section. We had our board meeting on Thursday, 30th.
Tuesday.
I'm sorry, Tuesday, 30th April, which means Thursday. This is a quick overview of the business, which is all available in results. The welding business contributed approximately 678 domestically. From the flares, it was approximately 35 crores, 172 of the equipment and automation space, and another 678 from the consumable space towards 1884. Segment-wise margins, which are all reported in the results itself, the consumable margins improved a slight amount. The equipment margins dipped a bit on account of certain automation hits, which are getting turned around over the course of this year. And the flares and process equipment, of course, as you know, has taken a hit on account of slightly later than expected execution of the project. PBT and ROC figures have, due to certain segments having a slightly tough Q4, have taken a hit, especially from the flares and process equipment division, which is why the overall margins dipped down over in FY24 compared to what we were expecting. And the ROC level remains fairly in line with where we were last year. Working capital borrowings, especially if you look at the welding business alone, have done quite well. Most of that is in line with our expectations, and with the way the business is moving at the moment, should remain as such. The focus areas leading into this year, and a lot of what has got spilled over from the previous year, are as follows. We're going to keep on pushing more towards high-end welding equipments also that would also have a Make in India tag to it and allow us to give a wider range of offerings to our clientele. The plasma cutting space is something that's very critical to us as part of our growth plans, and we'll definitely be driving that and hopefully over the next 6-8 months make a larger leapfrog in that. The project execution is critical to us, which has been there for the last 2 years, and we need to ensure over this year that the project, the wooden project, is executed correctly. We have a lot of investments that we've undertaken last year and will be undertaking over the course of this year as well to keep enhancing our welding consumables product mix to ensure a richer product mix into various markets. New geographies for Adore International, there's 3 or 4 critical markets that remain that are doing well, that we keep focusing on, and we're adding 2 or 3 new geographies over the course of this year where we already entered them. And the automation division, which had a decent revenue growth last year, but did not have a good bottom line. The main plan is to be able to turn around that to a profitable stage. These are the main focus areas for next year. The merger, we were actually, to be honest, expecting it in the last meeting with the NCLT. Unfortunately, did not happen, and we are very, very hopeful that in the next upcoming meeting of the NCLT, this will hopefully happen, which is quite soon, which is why both Adore Welding and Adore Fontech have announced interim dividends to ensure that the dividend process is very clean cut prior to any merger being done. That's just a quick run through. I'll now request to handle the question and answers. You can pull off the shared presentation. So, open up the screens. And we leave it open to anyone. Yeah, this option.
Good evening, everyone. I'm your moderator for today's Q&A session. Our first speaker for today is Mr. Pritesh. Mr. Pritesh, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, hi. Just an observation. Why is the H2 number in performance, you know, slightly weaker in growth rate? Where if you look at some other industries in, you know, whether it's a consuming industry or capital good industry, the growth has been fairly strong there. So any specific reason with us or with our industry where the growth in H2 is relatively weak? That's first question.
Yeah, okay.
My second question is in the consumables business, what
You lost you, Pritesh, we lost you. You hear us? We lost you after that. You said the consumer's business, now we can't hear you.
Sorry. I was expecting, or we were expecting the execution to start. So what's the status on this?
We lost you. Pinesh, we lost you. After your inquiry question, we lost you. Can you go back? After that, we said some of your consumables.
Yeah. Volume growth in consumables. The third question on the flares business.
Yeah.
We had a 150 crore order which we got from ONGC.
Yeah.
What is the status of that order and the execution? Because some of it should have been flowing in 24, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, over to you.
Okay, so H12 growth has been fairly much in line with everything. What is a big part is, of course, as you all know, that steel prices have been dipping down over from October, November onwards. Every month we've sort of seen it sort of trending downwards. And now we're seeing it moving back up. In fact, starting from April, we started seeing it moving a little bit upwards again. As far as volume growth goes, it's been pretty much exactly in line with what the market expectation is. We've been seeing it in the region of 10, 10, 11, 12% on the consumables front. So we're quite okay with that front on the volume perspective. On the consumables, we're not too bad. The product mix is something that we keep looking at getting richer, and that's going okay. We've been helped also by the international market sales on the consumables, which is also picking up. But in general, it seems to be quite okay. We're not too concerned about it from the perspective of volume at the moment. On the flares front, we are running a bit late. We were expecting to see a much larger quantum of billing to start from January, which has got pushed back due to a few engineering and execution issues. We're working very closely with ONGC on that front, and we are expecting that from May, June, that entire ticker will start moving a lot more aggressively. So yes, what should have been approximately another 30 to 35 crores of revenue that should have come in last year has got pushed in and will start ticking from now.
So any reason why there is a loss in the flares? The swing in numbers in your third division is significant this year. It's a close to 5-6 crore swing. So any reason why it's happening?
Say that again. I lost you. Sorry.
I think the swing.
Why there is a loss in the flare division?
Yeah.
It's simple. I think there are two parts to it. The first part is that there is a slight cost overrun that is also happening. So the gross margin is slightly coming down on that order, which we are accounting for as well. Secondly, we've adopted a very conservative accounting method for this entire order. So we've taken a lot of the costs up front in that perspective. We've intentionally been very, very conservative on that account. Like I said, I wanted to be very conservative on that order. So we've done it accordingly like that. So that's basically it. And obviously, because your revenue has been low, the high overheads that you have in the division obviously have not been amortized over the course of last year. So that basically adds up to that.
Okay. Just last, what will be the flares business revenue next year, considering this ONGC project execution as well?
It should be anywhere in the region of 2.5 to 3x of what it was this year. Looking at somewhere in the region of approximately, say, 90 to 100 is what we've as of now working on.
And at what margin?
Fairly similar margin to what you had expected earlier, with a slight dip. I'll say a slight dip because there are a few small cost overruns and stuff like that need to be looked at.
Okay. Thank you and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Ankit Gupta. Mr. Gupta, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions each on the three segments that we have. So starting from, you know, the consumable segment. So if you look at it, we have, registered a growth of around 10% in our revenues throughout the year. As you were saying, the volume growth also has been in line with the revenue growth last year. So, you know, when all your, the major industry that you cater to, whether it is shipping, whether it is manufacturing, whether it is defense, you know, all the sectors, the entire CapEx cycle is going through a very good time. Despite that, you know, our performance on the growth front on the consumable has been relatively on the muted front. So, if you can talk about, why the end segments which we serve to are doing exceptionally well, despite that our performance hasn't been that great.
On the consumables?
Yeah, this is particularly on the consumable front. Yeah.
Well, I think on the consumables, I don't necessarily, as I mentioned, you have to keep in mind that the steel prices are very closely related to our product pricing. And if you look at the volume growth that we've kind of had last year, I wouldn't say it's been a good year. I wouldn't say it's been a bad year either. I'd say it's been a fairly average year from that perspective. And you have varying segments. You have segments that did well in Q1, Q2, and then segments starting to pick up now. But I think it's fairly on par with what we were expecting across the industry basis the changes that are happening on consumables. I don't think it's exuberantly great. Like, I would agree with you on that. But I don't feel it's below par as to what we are seeing with the rest of our peers.
So, but some of your customer industries or the consumer industry that we serve to have been doing exceptionally well. So do you think our growth rate for next year should pick up from what we have done last year? And
I think it should pick up here. I would agree with you. Yes, it should. I would agree with you. It should pick up. But I think if I have to look at the welding industry per se, I think whatever data we get and whatever market studies we run, we are pretty much in line with the volume growth that the industry is having at the moment. I would
sure.
agree, like I said, I would agree with you that you've not outgrown the market. I would completely agree with you on that. And that remains something that we have to keep focusing on.
Sure. My second question was on the equipment front. We have seen a very good growth on the equipment front on the revenue side, but our margins have been pretty subdued and they have reduced quarter on quarter for the past 4 quarters. And earlier we used to talk that when we used to hold phone calls 2 3 years back that our when this business scales up to let's say 150 crore plus kind of top line, our margins in this business should at least match the consumable margins. But last year we saw very good growth, but margins have in fact come down significantly compared to last year. There was no benefit of operating leverage, and earlier there used to be some challenges on the supply chain front, but I think those have been
Yeah, we've
relative.
got most of those kind of sorted out slightly better. Yeah, you're right. So we had two issues that I think primarily helped, that then did not help, but we know what we're working towards. First is, I would say, the product mix issue, and that played a role. We had a slightly, I would say, not as rich a product mix as we would have liked, and that has a lot to do with the demand from oil and gas and pipelines and stuff like that, that leads to a little more. In fact, whatever forecast we're seeing should be fairly a little bit better than it was last year, a little bit better than it was last year on that front. That's number one. Number two, like I said, on our welding and cutting automation, which is part of our welding equipment, it all comes under the same thing. We, in fact, increased our loss went up over there. Even though our sale went up, our loss went up on account of some orders that were poorly executed. We are in the midst of that turnaround happening, and you will definitely see a lot of benefit to that over the next 12 months. You can look at margins going up for sure if we can, as long as we hit these metrics correctly. I don't think they'll be at the consumables level yet, but I definitely think there's a lot of scope for improvement. You're very right about that. Definitely.
Will it be possible to reach double-digit kind of margins in the equipment business next year?
Next 1 year, it'll be a bit of a push, but we can get close to it. We can get close.
Sure. My third question was on the flare side. We had incurred a big loss in the flare segments during 2018 to 2021 on our Middle East business, and then we had adopted a calibrated approach towards this segment. We had recruited some top management professionals from very good companies, and we were hoping that this segment will also report 10-11% kind of margins over the long run, and we will scale this business in a judicial manner. But last as you were saying, there have been some cost overrun on the ONGC project. So how do you see this segment shaping out for us? And given the cost overrun in the ONGC projects, do you still think we can do 10-11% kind of EBITDA margins in the segment?
Yeah, I think it's a very important question, something I was expecting to get asked. Look, I think I think where we are right now is just to keep our head down and execute this project correctly as per our commitment and as per our trying to achieve the margins we had planned to. And I think at that time, which is in another 6 8 months from now, to reassess exactly the question you asked, whether this makes sense as a long-term play in a large capacity or not. But I think we are, I'm not in a position to answer that question today. I definitely will not say yes or no either way. I just need a few more months to get this execute, this order and execute it to have that clarity. But you're very right. It's a very relevant question. It's been discussed at board level, it's been discussed at senior management level. It's not like we are adamant on any position. But right now our thing is that we must correctly execute this order. But your question is very pertinent.
This last question on the Fontech front, last year has been flat for us on the Fontech front. So, how do you see this business shaping out for us for next year?
Fairly, look, the Fontech front is going to be driven by two or three things. It's going to be driven by what we have is our maintenance and repair product line, and then we have our maintenance and repair service line. The maintenance and the product line has a growth opportunity, which is fairly in line with, like I would say, sort of an IIP type of number. You're not going to see it exponentially grow. Where you can see exponential growth come from is the services part, which we are starting to see better and better numbers coming from there and a better order book pick up from there. I think you'll see a little bit of growth in line with welding's type of growth plan for next year, and the ability to push that a little more over another 2 years or so.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Dhwanil Desai. Mr. Desai, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi,
Aditya and team. So, Aditya, a lot of the questions have been asked. Just one thing I wanted to understand. So, what is the revenue from export this year? If you can spell out that number.
We should see on the balance sheet. Anyway, the revenue, I can give it. Sorry, we managed to actually have a very good year on the export front. We managed to double the growth, double the number versus last year again. So, I think we're close to approximately 120 crores of our welding business being export oriented.
So my question is that, if I look at the numbers, we have delta of around 60 odd crores between last year and this year in terms of consumable. And I assume that a large part of our, export is consumable.
So that's actually not the right assumption. We have a very healthy product mix in the exports. It's actually 70% consumables, 30% equipment. Just to give you an idea.
Okay. Okay, but still the domestic part, the volume growth domestic part is still lower than what we are indicating. Is that a right way to look at it?
The volume growth on the domestic part is, you're not wrong. It's pretty much in line with what we see the market growth rate happening in terms of the other, what we do a market assessment study and we get a sense of what is the volume growth that is happening in the industries. Pretty much in line with that. I think what's important is look in the welding industry. You gotta understand the sectors you cater to, how it does. So if you look at our general infra sector that we cater to, heavy engineering sector we cater to, we're seeing good volume growth over there. If you see our auto, we are not seeing volume growth. If you see our railways, we had the first 6 months, 9 months, we had good volume growth happening over there. You have to look at it sector by sector. I know you guys would love to, put in a brush. India's growing so well and every sector is growing so well and then growth should be so much. It's very sector oriented. So I actually am very happy with certain key sectors having done well and the overall revenue mix and product mix that we're moving towards. Especially if you want to keep pushing the margins up, which we are able to start doing decently in the consumers. So I have this slight, like I keep saying, it's not so simple an answer, but it's fairly okay. It's not great. It's not bad. It's somewhere, it's okay. It's okay.
No, the reason I'm asking all this is because I wanted to understand as a management, there were low hanging fruit in export. We have been talking about that. So you've been phenomenally well on that side. So when you set expectation for a year, 2, 3 years, do you set out expectations separately that, okay, domestically, capex cyclic up, so this is how we want to grow and export, this is where you want to take it?
Yes, it is, yes. It's completely separate, we deal with them very separate.
And second question is on equipment. I think we have done...
I want to add one point because it pertains to you. Is just keep in mind that AdWord is very distributor facing in terms of its sale, right? So We have approximately 65% of our consumables, 70% of our consumables go through the distribution market, which is a lot of stock in trade and stuff like that. That also happens besides our end user base. Just keep in mind that if you have the last 6 months where prices were moving a little bit downward rather than looking upward, you always have a more conservative stock position happening in the market. So that's something of a reality we have to also deal with a bit. But it's not a big deal. I'm just giving you an overview. It's not a big deal. It's manageable.
Sure. Second question on equipment. I think, you know, we have done very well on the top line side of it. So if you can elaborate on what is driving such strong growth, and given that now we are at a base of a much larger 150 odd crores, how do you look at in terms of your growth aspirations from here on the equipment side?
Equipment seems to be, so I think we're getting advantages on two, three fronts. One is the product, vis-a-vis the imports, the gap is reduced a lot. I think the preference for domestic product is also there. I think our serviceability, all of that is there. We have select large customers who like working with us in bulk, which helps a lot. I think it's a question of us just being smart about, cutting out the fat in the manufacturing, turning around the equipment, the automation part of it, and automatically we should see a big jump happening. I tend to think that the fundamentals are in place for another good year on that front. But we do have to improve our margins for sure. Yes, we do.
Last question. I think you, in your focus areas, you talked about two things. One is plasma, and second is better product mix on the consumable side. So, you know, if you can talk a bit about, you know, contribution currently, where do we want to take it? Impact on gross margins. You know, why are we doing all these things, and why those are the focus areas? If you can talk a bit about that.
So I can't really correlate it back, Ronald. I can't correlate it back into a margin over here. But what I can tell you is that, look, at the end of the year, the net margin that we've ended up with has been, even if you remove the flare impact, the net margin has scope for further improvement. That scope for further improvement will not come purely by large volume only. It will come by more specialized metals in the consumer space, higher grade steels that we work on, stuff like that. So that is where that will end up coming from. And on the plasma cutting front and stuff, there's a lot of scope of just you're moving into higher end applications, all of that. So that's where we want to keep moving towards that, getting the brand to have more upper tier significance and all of that, and a larger per unit price on many different orders. So that's where we're trying to move it towards. And I think that will definitely help us as
So just a follow-up. So do we have that capability in-house, or are we building it, or
some
you know,
parts
how
are
should
the mix, it's a mix. Some parts are in-house. We have a large technical development center, but the truth is also that there are times we lean on for foreign collaborations and stuff like that. So it's a mix.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Nassar Parekh. Mr. Parekh, you're now being placed in the meeting.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. First is on you know, volume growth you mentioned. Can you give Q4 volume growth in consumables for us?
Compared to Q4 of last year, we're at approximately 1 or 2% volume growth quarter on quarter for Q4. And versus the previous Q3, we're at about 14% growth.
So on Q4, that's the question, right? 2% volume growth is the industry in Q4 just growing at 2%? Or are we losing market share?
So as per my assessment, I've been quite clear on the fact that I don't think we're losing market share. I'm quite clear on that front. I don't think we are at the moment, unless I happen to see another 3, 4, 5 months of something that doesn't tick, and then maybe we are losing a bit. But as of now, whatever we are gauging and we are assessing, we are not losing market share. I think you have to keep in mind the points I'm talking about when you talk about price correction happening and the industries that they're working on. And I think keeping all of that in mind, I think we're fairly stagnant at the moment. There is not a loss of market share. As of now, whatever I've seen, I would not tend to believe so.
So maybe in not in organized markets, but then are we seeing unorganized players kind of get more, or is there anything of that? Because the underlying industries, I think a couple of people asked that question, where underlying industry is so strong, it's very difficult to, you know, believe that or not understand how 2% is the end market growth, right? So.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that front, but I think if you look at it on the overall year basis, you're still looking at approximately 10% volume growth or 10, 11% volume growth. So you have to keep slightly longer segment in mind on that front. Like I have to give a slightly longer window to study that data, and that's where it is. I think you'll have sectors like auto and all, which are, you know, they're not as exuberant in certain fronts that you would think that maybe in terms of volume that is happening. You know, so it depends where we play in those segments and stuff like that. But in general, yeah, as of now, I feel fairly confident that we're in line. But in 3 months, if I see something different, then maybe I'll have to reassess that. As of now, I feel we're in line.
Got it. Last time you had spoken about automation and automatic, you know, autonomous vending and all that. So in that, you know, are we making any progress? And what percentage today would be either in equipments or consumables would be the automation part?
Automation is still tiny for us. It's anywhere in the region of approximately 12-13% of our equipment revenue, but the contribution to the loss is quite significant on that front. We expect it to jump to anywhere this year at least to 20% of our, sorry, one, let me get my math right. It'll be approximately 25-30% of our revenue for this year on our welding equipment front, and it should be in a position to positively contribute at a good net margin, better than the equipment line, if we do it correctly.
Got it. Does it only mean you know, newer equipments that we are launching, or
No,
can you give
it's a
some
lot to do with
details?
integration. It's a lot to do with integration. Basically, when you do for any automation of a line, so basically you're picking up your welding, more cutting, and then you're integrating it and providing a solution from that perspective.
Okay. Got it. And lastly, on the BIS case,
Yeah.
is any
We
of
still, there's no movement. There's no movement. The stay at High Court remains, which is good, which is fair, and it remains on that front. There's absolutely no traction legally, either which way on that moment.
Okay. And if I can just squeeze in one, just last year, you know, when we look at our fixed assets, our gross block is obviously very high. You know, if we compare it to some of our peers. So one, is there, you know, what kind of utilization we are at? And from a CapEx perspective, is it fair to assume we don't need to do any more CapEx for the next couple of years?
No. So CapEx, we've done a fair amount of CapEx last year. We have a little bit of CapEx, not a little bit. We have, I would say, 70% of the CapEx plan we did last year, we will have this year as well. We do have new lines, refurbishment, all of that taking place, new product lines getting entered in. You have to change a few old lines, all of that. I think you have to keep in mind that look, you're a legacy company that's sitting on a few gross blocks like that. That's perhaps why it seems like that. But no, it'll change. You see, but at least another 18 months of CapEx will remain there.
But more thing, if you are comparing with our peers, they are having the minimum 30-40% trading turnover. In our
Yeah,
case, it's mostly
it's very
manufacturing.
different in that
So
regard.
they
Yeah,
don't have the facilities.
different.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Viraj Mehta. Mr. Mehta, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Thank you, Aditya. Aditya, my
No.
first question is on the flares division. We basically, when we took up this project in a couple of public interaction that you mentioned that the margins in this should be at, I mean, high single digit or low double digit kind of level for us. Now, my question is that if we actually include 8 crore loss that we have done because we have done losses, I mean, we have incurred cost for this year, then
No.
shouldn't the margins next year should be temporarily much higher, then only at a project level over a 2 year period it will make sense of 10% margin, right?
Yeah, you're right. Like I said, firstly, we're running late on this project, and secondly, we have a few cost overruns on this project. So we started off on exactly the right number that you mentioned, and we sort of worked our way down a little bit. We sort of watered that down a bit, and we've got to make sure we execute correctly. So I think you'll see, I mean, we should be in a better result, obviously, than this year, but no, you will not see an exponential massive jump happen on the bottom line. No, you will not be exponentially large.
Am I fair to assume that I see a significant difference in your tone regarding this division and how you think about the prospects of this division?
I'll be very open on that front. I think it's not about my tone or not or anything like that. I think I was very clear saying that, look, I'm going to take this on to see if we are well suited to be in this space. I kept saying, okay, we're going to take on this order. We had problems like we've had in the past, and we cleaned up those problems, and we came back into it. And we said, okay, is this company well set up to go and execute these play orders or not? We're very well placed in the welding space, blah, 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 all of that. Okay, fine. So, are we well placed in this sector? And I think what I'm learning over time is that there are many, many challenges in terms of how we run it versus the conventional welding business. And there are slight differences that are there. And right now, my focus is just, our team's focus is just on execute this correctly. And then we'll see strategically, is this the right fit or not?
Right. And my last question is on the exports front. What kind of growth on a very small base in exports do you see over this year and next year?
So the base has gone up. So, you know, we were 2 years ago, we were at 32 crores, and the base has gone up to 120 crores. So what is you obviously do have a base improvement effect. Having said that, there's a lot more potential out there. There's a lot of good story of the India brand and many other things that give you a push. I'd like to be able to push, you know, I don't think it's realistic to expect them to do 100%, 100% year on year throughout, but I definitely think that, you know, in the region of 35, 40% is something that you can definitely push.
Right. And if I just take out the exports growth that we have had this year, then it is on the domestic side, it makes the picture even more worse off, as in it'll be like single digit, low single digit growth for our domestic business on
Value basis.
consumables.
Yeah, on a value basis, yeah. On a value basis, correct.
And on the volume basis, how much
The
it will
volume
be this year?
basis, you're somewhere in the region of approximately, I would say 7-8% or something like that, six, about 7% on the consumables front, but on the equipment front, we've done okay on the domestic front,
Yes,
but on
yes.
the equipment front, yeah.
Thank you so much and best of luck.
Sure.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Santosh. Mr. Santosh, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I missed the initial commentary, so I might ask some based on the questions. What I understand is that, I think, can you please help me understand what has been the overall industry growth of the welding consumables industry in FY24? And what would be the mix from the end user point of view, something on the lines which we had shared in the FY, you know, June 21 presentation that we had shared? If you could just give some color on that front.
Sure. So the I think we expected the volume growth in the market to be anywhere in the region of 8-10%. I think we are somewhere in that band at the moment, is what we saw last year. That's our assessment of it. We break that band into many different industries that you operate in, and depending on, like you said, where you're heavier, that can move. For us, general engineering, heavy engineering, pressure vessels, that kind of stuff has still been a big growth driver. We expect shipbuilding to be a big growth driver coming into this year because a lot of stuff is starting to traction on that. Railways was good, especially during the first 6 to 9 months of the year, and we expect that to continue to be good going into this year. Oil and gas has started picking up a little bit also. We've seen a lot of investments go into cement infrastructure, increases, stuff like that, where we also expect it to be very good. I hope that helps. I don't think I can give you much more detailed clarity than that. I hope that helps in some way.
This is helpful, sir. Just a follow-up to this. If one were to understand, my understanding is that after us, the next, the third largest, fourth largest, like that, the top seven players after the top two, I think, have a very small market share, and they're very industry specific, and their growth has been coming from very limited number of industries. They're more focused, right? So I just want to understand what are the industries where the number three to number seven player has grown and has impacted anyways our market share, and what are those industries, please? Also, what industries we have gained market share and where we have seen some competitive intensity increasing?
I keep going back to what I just keep calling general engineering, heavy engineering, that type of construction sort of stuff. I think we're doing kind of okay over there. I think that's doing fairly well. I think we're doing okay there. I would say we may have lost out a bit on certain we are not very strong on, for example, the renewable energy sector, the wind energy sector, stuff like that. That's fairly good. I think there's also stuff on thermal power and all, which we're getting into a little more. We're a little bit behind on that front. But otherwise, maybe the auto segment, lower price yields happening in certain places where we may not be seeing that much traction as the rest. We've done okay on the construction equipment front. I've been quite happy with construction equipment. That's doing well. So it's a bit of a mix like that. It's a bit of a mix like that.
On the same lines, any specific industries where we have made very significant inroads, sir?
Very significant inroads in the
When I
last.
say in FY20, let's say FY19, pre-COVID, if one, let's say shipbuilding was contributing very small percentage on absolute number basis, that would have grown 4x, 3x, something like that has happened within our end user industry mix from 19 to as of today, sir, this year.
You see that a bit over the course of this year, that you can see 2x, 3x, 4x. Definitely, you can end up seeing a little bit of that. I'm trying to think of where you could specifically see it. Well, railways is, I mean, railways is a given. Simply, the demand is at where it is, so that's a completely different game. Would definitely lean on, like, I keep going back to the pressure vessel market and general infra market more than that, also. Yeah, for sure.
And lastly, sir, if one has to look at the overall industry geographically, like east, west, north, south, if my understanding is right, west and central or west would be the larger geographies. What would be the industry mix and how are we mapped to the industry? If you could give some color on that front, it would be great.
So
Thank
we
you.
are well placed. So we basically end up having west first, west, central, north, south, east is basically the way in which we are, our sales hierarchy goes. In west, we're very
Consumables, what would be the mix, sir? If you could give
similar. Like I
percentage.
just explained, it will be like that only. West will be strong, then we'll come into the central part, then you go to the
And
south,
not.
north, and then into the east.
Okay.
That
Thank you, sir.
okay?
Yes, sir. Thank
Yeah.
you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Saket. Mr. Saket, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hi, am I audible?
Go
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So one of my question was that, you know, when you consider the welding consumer market and the size and the growth of it, do you also include, say, the consumer that goes into all those welding robots?
Yeah, the consumable that is used in the welding robot, yes, very much so.
So my question was, is it like, because you just mentioned that maybe on the automation side we might be slightly say behind the curve. Now in sectors like auto, where there's a bigger trend of say welding automation through robots rather than standalone welding machines like yours or ESABs. So is that market growing slightly at a rapid rate? That's why that's not getting reflected in our numbers. Is that a safe
Not
assumption?
all the consumables. It doesn't affect the consumer. The consumer doesn't get very affected by it, and we are doing okay on that front. Where we do lose out is on the automation, you know, total totality of the solution part of it, but not on the consumer so much, no.
Okay, so when you mentioned say 13% automation, is it like 13% of your consumers go towards automated?
No, it's the solution, the welding equipment part, the solution part that is part of the welding.
Okay, and if we say have the same breakup for consumers, how much goes into automated and how much goes into say the welding person operated standalone machine, how would that mix be?
So it's almost in India still, I would say my estimation 90 to 93, 94% will still happen through the 90% will still happen through a very conventional mix. 8-10%.
Okay. Does that tally with the say the overall India landscape in automated versus say
fairly in line.
Okay. Now, I joined a couple of minutes late. So, is there any update on the Fontech amalgamation? If you can,
The last NCLT meeting, we were hoping it would go through. We were very close to it. It's now listed, expected to be on the 7th of May, listed high, and we hope the NCLT is in a position to pass it through.
Okay. Thanks for the update. Now, my next question would be that, you know, there is some bit of, you know, I think the price, especially of these metals like copper, aluminium, are on the rise. So, do you see that impacting our margins for in the consumer space or anything on that front, if you can guide us?
I don't see that having any negative impact. I think we should be smart about how we handle it. We've gone through a fair amount of learning curve on this. Now, we just need to be smart and implement what we've got in place. I don't think it's going to be a negative. No, not at the moment.
Okay, thanks. And any view on the channel, say inventory right now, is it manageable or on the higher side?
If you ask me personally, I was telling everyone earlier, because steel prices have been going down over the last 3-4 months only, now it's moving back up. I feel the channel inventory is slightly low in fact.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Vandit Dharamshi. Mr. Vandit, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just have some bookkeeping questions. If you can just give absolute volume number and metric tons, say for consumables and then exports. And
I'm sorry, Vandit, I can't give you absolute numbers. We don't do it. And to be honest with you, my competitors only give segment results. So I personally just don't, I don't do it. I'm sorry, I can't give you absolute numbers. That's right.
Okay.
Give you a rough estimate of something if you want. I can always give you a rough.
Yeah. Even rough estimate will work.
All right. So what do you want?
What would be the volume mix, maybe in terms of percentage when it comes to exports and domestic consumables?
Volume mix of export and domestic will be at least, I presume, 85%, 80 to 85% will be domestic.
Okay. And maybe number of units in equipment business that you would have sold, say year on year? If you can give percentage growth or absolute number, whatever works.
We've grown by about 25-30% this year on the equipment numbers. I don't want to give you those numbers because that's a little sensitive, especially because all of my competitors import their data, import most of their stuff. But it's about 25-30%. We've seen 30% plus we've seen volume growth.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Sorry, I hope you understand. I'm very careful on that. Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Ms. Harini Thedia. Ms. Harini, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hi, Aditya. Question on the consumables front, on the domestic side. You said you're working on a few things to see if we can possibly eke out a little more growth than the market this time around in FY25. Would that be more product offering led, or that is something that we...
Product offering led. You just implemented one or two new lines, so it'll be product offering led. Very correct.
Okay. And what... our mix versus our competitors, are we 85-90% there in the same basket now, or?
Well, the product mix front, you're very close to being there. I would say 85%, at least 85-90%. It's a little more. Look, I don't want to comment on that. I don't comment on anyone else's business, but I can just tell you that, look, there's an element of, like I keep saying, knowledge process outsourcing on the non-product front, where we don't play a role. And on the second front, there is obviously the MNC ability to source exotic materials in a different perspective than I do. And so be it. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the offering. We have 85% of the offering. It's a question of implementing that offering correctly that we need to learn.
Got it. The second point is on consumables margins. You know, at least domestically, when we ask around, the listed prices seem to be very similar versus your competitors now. So,
yeah.
Trying to understand why they report sort of better on gross margins than us. So, is it because it's not pricing led anymore, right? We are we're pretty much.
Maybe a slight bit, maybe 2-3%, 1-2% could be pricing led. You're right, it's not a massive difference. But I think product mix is the basket, the in their basket of sale, the amount of exotic that is there is still a higher richer mix than it is in mine. So that's where you're going to keep seeing that. We have to keep pushing that.
Okay, got it.
That doesn't mean we don't have the offering. We built up the offering, we're building it up more and more, but that doesn't mean we're selling the offering adequately. So we have to keep pushing that also. So both ways it works.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Devansh. Mr. Devansh, you are now being placed in the meeting.
So thanks for the opportunity. Sir, any commentary if you can share on competition from imports? Do you see that going higher this year or any...
I don't comment too much on competitors. I don't think I'm in the right position to do so. So I'd rather refrain from that.
Okay. And so any outlook you can share for Ador Fontech? Where do you see the business for next 2-3 years?
I think, look, the business is now, as we consolidate and as we get into the merger front, hopefully that'll get kicked off quite soon. What ends up happening is you have Ador Fontech's. Basically, we have M&R, maintenance and repair products, you have maintenance and repair services, and then you have capital range. Capital range gets combined very quickly with the other welding. That all goes into one basket of the welding equipment and cutting front. Then what you're left with is the M&R products and services. The M&R products have been in place for a long time. You keep pushing a few competitors, you've got to push it through the distribution network, and you're looking at anywhere, you can hit, depending on how IIP is going, you can hit between 8, 10, 12% growth on that. You think kind of well, and you see a good value mix on that going forward. On the services front, where you can take on more and more jobs with more and more benefits, larger solutions, there is potential to grow that exponentially if executed correctly. But again, you have to execute correctly. So that's where we aim to push over the next 2-3 years.
And in terms of any internal targets we have, in terms of what is the kind of sales profile we are looking at for Fontech for next 2-3 years?
It's like I said, I don't want to give an exact number, but it's pretty much like, I don't give a forecast, but it's pretty much in line with what we were saying on an IIP front in terms of what their top line is today. Should be, at the lower level.
And any reason why, the business has been kind of consolidating for last 3 years, in terms of, and actually for an even longer time. So where do you see the change will come that can change the trajectory for sales growth profile?
On the M&R services is going to be the big thing. You have to do that correctly.
Okay. Thank you.
The capital equipment front, once it gels into the welding thing, will automatically see a slight pickup as well. It's been a little subdued because we've been focusing a lot more in the last year or two on the M&R front, especially on the products front, rather than the capital equipment, because we knew the merger was happening. So that's how we sort of played it out a little bit for that front.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Rahul Jain. Mr. Jain, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sure. Sir, my first question is with regards to the equipment side. So typically, say, not just about the next year, but overall in next 2-3 years, what kind of margins do we feel our equipment business can do on a longer term basis?
Like I told someone earlier, I think we should be in a position to at least increase it by 60-70% compared to where it is today. At least we have to just do a few basics correctly and a few things we have to turn around, and we should be, and remove some fat from the process, and I think we should be able to do it easily.
Mm-hmm. And sir, with regards to the flare business, you mentioned there are cost overruns in that project, which could probably lower our margins. So typically, those margins will be somewhere, say, in the region of mid-single digit, or what kind of, maybe not the exact number, but what kind of range it could be in next year.
Yeah, I mean, like I indicated earlier, we're always looking at 9-10% type of level. I think we've got to take that down a little bit, you know, so somewhere there, but then we've got to take it down a little bit.
And sir, with regards to domestic business on the consumable side, can we expect a double-digit growth going ahead, or what would, you know, what can drive that double-digit growth?
I would tend to believe so. There's no reason. I mean, you presume elections apart and everything else apart, just the regular movement of the economy the way it is. I would assume so that we'll be in a position to do that, yes.
Sorry, I missed the last two, three words.
I said, I assume so. There's no reason we should not be in a position to do that, yes.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Ram Prasad. Mr. Ram Prasad, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hello, am I audible?
Ah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My question is regarding your subsidiary, 3D Printing Technologies. It has been making continuous losses. So, what is the outlook for that subsidiary?
So we as he said, it's actually a subsidiary of Arrow Contact, but since we're on the subject, it's okay, we can discuss it right now. The market around, basically the subsidiary works on the dental market. It services the dental market with clear aligners. And the market around us has changed a bit, and there's been a lot of funding that's happened to larger organizations that have been burning a lot through it. So we've been sort of very clear that we want to stick to our core philosophy, keep driving at it, and while doing it, keeping our burn completely in control. So we managed to reduce our losses quite significantly year on year. We managed to reduce our burn quite significantly year on year and just work on the core philosophy of what we want. I think in the next 6-8 months, we'll see that industry also go through some changes, and then we'll take a call on which way it should move. But I think it's very simply, like I keep saying, you know, what is the core business, and then what are the other ancillaries, and then you've got to figure out how to house those correctly.
But does it have any synergy to our core operations of welding?
Does not have any synergy to the corporations at the moment. It does not have any synergy. Let's be clear about that. That's the reality. So we have to figure out how to do something where we've created some value correctly. We'll get there. But right now, it's a very small subset of the entire thing. But you're right, it has to be figured out correctly.
Okay. Then my next question is on how are the imports for the consumables in the welding consumables, please? Can you throw some light?
No. In the welding consumer space, nothing major concern. Where you see the imports now becoming more and more prominent is as you move more into the exotic metals, and you move more into doing more higher-end type of steel work, then automatically the imports come again. Those become more Europe-related, Western market-related kind of imports, which again, we are trying to work on how we have better products or we have a better offering over there. So that's where it is. I'm not too concerned about the mid or down segment part of imports or the other.
Is it not eating into our quantities? I just wanted to know the imports from
Oh,
China and all, basically.
no. Oh, no, I don't think that's it. No, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. I think
Okay,
we
thank
have
you very much.
just connect a few things and get it. No, I don't think, I'm not concerned about that part.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Ankit Gupta. Mr. Gupta, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity again. My question was on, you know, I had two questions basically. One was on the, you know, dividend payout front. So last year we saw, you know, 40% kind of dividend payout. And a year before that also, we had given the same, the dividend payout was around the same percentage. So, you know, with the CapEx that you are planning to do for next year also, so a dividend payout will remain the same? Or do you think there is a scope of improving the dividend payout to, let's say, you know, 60 or even higher percentage?
I think the idea is that we keep the payout ratio where it is today for the last 2-3 years as a sort of benchmark. And as soon as the opportunity arises correctly to be able to go above that benchmark, I just don't want to commit to it at the moment.
Sure. And on the consumable front, you know, you did highlight about the challenges that you faced in the second half of this year, of last year. But I was just going through our, you know, Q2 or H1 phone call transcript, where we had said that our volume growth in the consumable front in H1 was around, 22%. So it seemed that, second half has been pretty challenging for us. So is that a
Well,
true? Is
but keep in mind, like I was discussing that period also, the Q1 of the previous year, the base effect had gone for a toss because of that Russia war and all that thing that happened. So your base effect growth that happened over HY1 last year was very high compared to the previous year. And that sort of streamlined a bit. But yes, you're right. In Q3, Q4, it's been a little more subdued than you would have seen in HY1 on that front. Yes.
Okay, so given the kind of base that we have for next year, like, do you think, the kind of growth we are targeting at least in double digits will be possible?
Yes, I stand by the fact that I think it is possible, and we've seen our books. I stand by the fact that it's definitely possible.
Oh, sure. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Kiran D. Mr. Kiran, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Thank you. Just one question, sir. I need a slightly broader commentary rather than any specific numbers. So we have seen across capital goods, and I'm not just referring to your competition, but generally broader capital goods where every player has reported great numbers. Every player is talking of growth, CapEx, and so on and so forth. So if you could help me understand, and I've been a part of shareholding of the company for about 5 years, you can help me understand at what part of the cycle will we be able to see growth? Because we had the low part of the CapEx and all the maintenance, I'm including Fontech as well as welding. So the maintenance part of the business, the operations part of the business, the consumer part of the business. So we had the low part of the CapEx for about 7, 8 years, and then we have had the last 1 to 2 years, or at least 18 months, where there's been tremendous growth in almost all capital goods. So if you could just tell me how, where does Adore Welding especially fit in? Because we were neither part of the growth previously when the CapEx was down. Now we are not part of the growth in the last 18 months. So where do we fit in? How does
Sorry,
our growth kind
I'm
of
going to have to defer with you a little bit over here. If you've been a shareholder for the last 5 years, tell me that you've not seen growth is something I find a little odd. I'm talking about Q4 mainly, where there was a 1% sort of growth only. I never talked about the last 18 months or the CapEx cycle. Let me be clear. And if you've seen my results, you'll see that there's not the same in line with what you're saying. Our volume growth and our top line growth has been very much in line or outperforming the market before that. I'm talking about the last 3, 4 months. So let's not mistake my commentary for Adore Welding's inability to catch on to the CapEx cycle. I'm talking about the last 3, 4 months. And I don't know if you have seen the last 3, 4 months data on the welding industry front or not from any other competitor, but you will not see anything very differently to this in the last 3, 4 months.
No,
So
why
let's be
is
a
that,
little
sir? That's the reason that I wanted.
so let's be got first please be a little clear on that, right? Let's be a little clear on the timelines we're talking about, right? Our numbers in terms of volumes altogether have pretty much doubled in the last 3 years. So there's a huge difference on that front, what you're saying and what I am saying. So let's be clear on that. Now you're talking about the last 3 or 4 months. I am saying the last 3 or 4 months. We have had a fairly subdued thing because I feel the industry has also been a little subdued on the welding perspective due to product mixes and due to industry picking up. The railways in the last 3 months has not been exuberant. The railways in the last 12 months is exuberant. There is a slight difference that is happening over there. So we need to understand that. Is it going to be exuberant going forward? It should be. Whatever we can see on the spending front, it should be fairly good on that front. So you have to understand the timelines we're talking about, the scenarios we're talking about. The welding industry per se, on our equipment front, we're seeing good numbers. We're seeing all of that take off as well. So we have to be clear on that perspective.
Fine, sir. Okay, cool. Thanks.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. Santosh. Mr. Santosh, you are now being placed in the meeting.
So thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to understand what would be the approximate revenue mix of the consumables, FY24 consumable revenues between stick electrodes, solid wires, flux cost wires, and soft flux.
So normally, basically, what you do is you take stick electrodes as one segment, and you take all the other wires and fluxes as another segment.
Okay.
Electrodes would probably be approximately 60-65%. 58-42 is what you're looking at from that.
Okay. Okay. Sir, also, one more from a business point of view, I think. Is it fair to assume that the projects-based business tends to have lesser gross margins than the dealers and distributor-based business? Can you please help me understand the difference?
Slightly lower, depending on the product mix, slightly lower, yes. And also the fact that you're extending a larger payment term credit cycle also. So yeah, slightly lower.
If I have to understand the differential in margin differential at the gross margin level, is it fair to say 100 to 150 pips kind of difference could be seen in these two models of doing business? And on the collection cycle, what would be the collection cycle for these?
Average two? Collection cycle will be somewhere in the region of 60 to 75 days when you're talking about direct on the large end users. And you're talking of in with our own distribution, it will be somewhere in the region of 20 to 30 days. On the basis points difference that you'll see would be maybe about 100 basis points, I'd say. Fair enough. That's a fair assessment.
Okay. And sir, what all end user industries in India are currently seeing increased adoption of robotics and automation within the welding industry? And are we strong in those end user industries from a equipment side?
Yeah, so you see automation happen where there's obviously going to be large scale happening a little more. So you're going to see it happening a little bit more. Auto is always one at the forefront of that. You'll have a high automation also happening on. We're seeing it more and more on the fabrication shop floors also coming in. So where you have large scale fabrication, we have a little more automation coming in over there as well. So you have a certain mix of all of that happening.
Sir, if you say that auto industry sees large automation, scope for automation is there. If my understanding is right, the 6310 series is the most used in auto industry, where I think it's a more of a commoditized area. I think where again, we see a lot of imports happening in that side. Do you see that it is going to change this automation and increased adoption of automation?
This is slightly mixed up there. So let me clarify that. You had mentioned 6310, which I presume you actually mean 6013.
6013. I'm sorry. 6013. My apologies.
Yeah, 6013 is a type of stick electrode, which is the base commodity usage for mild steel fabrication. That is an electrode that does not come under automation, that comes under standard fabrication. So actually, the auto industry, those who automate, will not be using it that much. They'll be using what we call wires. MIG wires and stuff like that, which are continuous, where the higher rate of deposition happens. So it's slightly different on that front. 6013 has nothing to do with the automation perspective at all. It's completely separate. 6013 plays a role in heavy fabrication, general fabrication, stuff like that altogether. Your wires, and though the imports are not a major concern on that front, in terms of the material supply, in terms of the automation, there might be a fair amount of it.
Okay. And so lastly, if I may, who are the top five players in the industry level when it comes to the reclamation welding market, sir?
There aren't really five key players. I would say EVAC, which is erstwhile owned by L&T, is now owned by ESAB, is definitely the leader. I think then Ado Fontec comes in second. And then we have two or three other players that come in that come in slightly below that. And mainly part of them are imports and some domestically as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Sriram R. Mr. Sriram, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question. Can you give the sector-wise revenue for FY24? Like, how much would be from steel, railways, etc.? Hello.
I'll just give you one second. I'll give you the broad numbers accordingly. It'll be about 18-20% will be construction heavy engineering, 10% will be railways, about 8% will be oil and gas, about 8-10% will be steel, and cement would have played a larger role, especially in the cement expansion this year. Fairly correct.
Construction is heavy industry 33%.
Yeah, heavy industry
20%. Construction is about 14%. Railway 9%. Shipbuilding is 4%, and all other stuff is 20%.
And how much would be cement?
Cement would have come into heavy engineering primarily this year, so we'll come into that aspect of it all. But cement seems to be having an even larger expansion portfolio over the next 3 years, so you should see a good growth in that.
Yeah, but what would be the, in terms of percentage, how much would that be?
Must be somewhere in the region of 7-8%.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for the day is Mr. Nitish Rege. Mr. Rege, you are now being placed in the meeting.
Hi. So my question was mainly on the merger. So are we seeing any cost revenue synergies which we've identified, the management has identified from this merger? Are there any low-hanging fruits when it comes to cost synergies?
We did see that. We did that at the time of evaluation of the merger as well. We've been doing it now also. We have these projects that run basically that look at that. And we do have it. I don't want to put a number to it, but we definitely do have it from that perspective. And we do see definite amount of synergies that will come in primarily on back-end services, on management, on certain production benefits and import benefits, scaling up production. Yes, for sure, there are.
Okay, got it. And on the overall margins, our peers have EBITDA margins above 18%, while we FY24 margin is 10.2. What kind of margin should we assume going forward? You know, is there a scope of reaching, EBITDA margin reaching close to 14%?
I think I've been saying this for some time, and we've had quarters where we've been able to come much closer to it. And we've had a quarter now where if you were to remove the impact of the flares and stuff like that, you should see that we are much closer to that number. At least halfway to that number. There's no reason why we should not be moving up towards it. And I think we need to reorganize and recalibrate a few things to get there.
Okay. And just on the equipment business, margins have been quite volatile. FY24 margin at 4.6 versus 6.7 in FY23, while 4Q margin is even lower at 2.5. So, you know, why is there such volatility in these margins? And, you know, what should be the steady state margin going ahead?
The steady state margin is a little higher than that. It's basically on account of, like I mentioned earlier, some automation losses that we had, which are getting turned around and should not be a factor leading into this year. So the steady state margin should be a little better than that. It should be closer to about 7-8%.
There's no one-off sitting there in FY24, right, in revenue on the equipment side?
Sorry.
Are there any one-offs? So equipment business has done really well. Yeah.
One-off. There's no major one-off. It's just that we had some higher cost overruns on the automation side of it. That's it. But that'll get turned around. It's not something of major risk.
No,
we had one-offs clearing up that we did a little bit of. We had a little bit of inventory cleanup. So we did a few of those one-offs. Yeah, we did a few of those one-offs. That's that.
No, I was mentioning more on the equipment revenue growth, which we've seen in the year and during the quarter. So
can we say this 175 crores is like the new base when it comes to equipment automation revenue?
Yeah, it should be.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was the last speaker for today.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks.